Barcelona beat Bayern in the glamour tie of the night. Rafinha, the hat-trick hero. Lille stunned Atletico in Madrid, and Feyenoord did likewise to win at Benfica. There were memorable away victories for Dinamo Zagreb and Inter. It was a good night's work for Manchester City, Brest, Celtic and Liverpool too. So much to review from Match Day 3 Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Taylor. I'm joined by European football expert Kevin Hatchard. Kev, what a great night. So many stories to get into onto tonight's show.
I think that's the best night we've had in the league phase so far. I thought there were terrific performances, some real shocks, brilliant goals, great drama. It was sensational from start to finish.
And Mike, the story from our main game, of course, being that Barcelona blew away Bayern. We'll get into it shortly, but how important is that victory, do you think, in the early tenure of Hansi Flick?
Massively important, really. I mean, considering they were playing a team that had beaten them six times in a row and could easily, and we saw little glimpses of it, that Bayern can cause them problems. But the way in which, having taken the lead, then kind of almost conceded a bit of possession and conceded that lead to that Harry Kane goal, then just turned it all around very slowly. It's like turning a juggernaut around very quickly. And then they just took complete control by half-time. And then that third, I mean, just watching the finishes from Rafinha, just phenomenal, all three. The third one just summed it up.
OK, these were the scores then from Wednesday night in the UEFA Champions League. Manchester City 5, Sparta Praha 0, Leipzig 0, Liverpool 1, Atletico 1, Lille 3, Benfica 1, Feyenoord 3, Salzburg 0, Dinamo Zagreb 2, Young Boys 0, Inter 1, they left it late in Bern, Atalanta 0, Celtic 0, Brest 1, Bayer Leverkusen 1, and of course we saw Barca take on Bayern, and we start there, of course, a night to remember for the Blaugrana and their head coach, formerly of Bayern, Hansi Flick. He saw his side make a rapid start against the German side.
Rafinha completely in the clear and onside. He goes around Neuer and he finds the finish. We knew this game was going to be a good one. Barcelona take the lead inside the first minute.
Gnabry, good first time touch from him. Crosses in, Kane!
That's a wonderful finish on the volley from Harry Kane. It's clinical, it's powerful, it's unstoppable. It's Barcelona 1, Bayern 1.
That's one of the best goals I've seen this season, Mike, in any competition.
Down the centre, and Lopez, is he going to get there? He does. He's prodded it forward, and Robert Lewandowski is on hand to tuck the ball in and restore Barcelona's lead.
It's a wonderful crossfield ball for Rafinha on the left. He's bearing down on Guerrero. Rafinha, he's found the far corner with an exquisite finish beyond the reach of Manuel Neuer. Great first-time touch on the chest. Rafinha, it's a hat-trick. It's a brilliant hat-trick. It's Barca 4, Bayern 1.
And the celebrations on the pitch at full-time told you everything about what this victory meant for Barcelona, celebrating with their supporters down one end of the stadium. Mike, how did they go about beating Vincent Kompany's Bayern so convincingly?
Well, they got off to an electrifying start, didn't they? And it was a well-taken goal which completely caught Bayern off guard in many respects. Robert Lewandowski had the ball inside his own half, back to goal, under pressure. He manages to force it to Lopez, Fermín Lopez, and immediately Lopez just whipped it over the top. And Bayern were almost static. Through went Rafinha, unchallenged. And a lot of players, when they're clean through, can sometimes have mixed messages in their head where they think, oh, what do I do here? Do I just slide it in? Do I go around the goalkeeper? He knew what he wanted to do. He went around Neuer and just calmly side-footed it in. But then we saw, for the next 20 minutes or so, Bayern, who you'd think might have been completely shell-shocked, but anything but shell-shocked, because they played really good football. They had most of the possession. They had a goal disallowed, a header from Kane. It was a well-worked goal, but he was marginally offside. And then they did score in the 18th minute. And you thought at that point, Barcelona got to be careful here. But instead, within minutes, Barcelona gradually took control of things and scored two more goals before half-time. Fermin Lopez worked really hard to get the ball through for Lewandowski to score a fairly straightforward goal for Robert Lewandowski. And then again, Rafinha scoring with a lovely curling shot after getting away. And again, it was quick fire. It was direct, as you said. And then, of course, 11 minutes into the second half, it just finished it off with the third goal, which was a wonderful crossfield ball, brilliantly brought down, and the shot executed to perfection. It was a great goal-scoring performance by Rafinha, a great team performance by Barcelona.
I thought they were absolutely ruthless, because we talked before the game about risk and how both teams do take risks and they push high. And with Vincent Kompany's football, he says to Upamecano and Kim, we're going to leave you with a lot of work to do because we want to push high and we want to get a lot of players forward. Kimmich will come back and help at times. Something slightly malfunctioned for the opening goal in the first minute because somehow Kimmich ended up deeper than the two centre-backs and I think they got drawn in. Barcelona was so smart with the way they did it because they realised that actually you can go, not route one, but you can go with really direct switches. Now, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. And to do it with the clinical edge that they did, to do it with the accuracy, the final goal, the fourth goal, is perfect because Pedri wins it in midfield, he works it to Lamine Yamal. Yamal has this wonderful left foot and he just puts it right into Rafinha's path. And then once Rafinha's brought it down, on the chest, another touch to take it out of his feet, and he just smashes it into the bottom corner. So Bayern will look at that and think, we did a lot of things right, but the way we play was ruthlessly exploited. And that's now a test of Vincent Kompany and what he wants to do going forward. Because if you're going to play this football and take this amount of risk in a game, this is going to happen every so often.
We're just getting replays of the fourth goal. This crossfield ball, just watching the way in which Rafinha brings it down. He's running at pace, it comes from, and he's timed it to perfection because as the ball is going to land on his chest, he just almost dips into slow motion mode for a millisecond to bring it down and then immediately kicks back into gear, doesn't break stride.
What does a great coach do? He improves players.
We'll talk about that, Kev. Obviously, Rafinha, you know, a lot of expectation around him. He's probably had his standout night tonight as a Barcelona player.
100%. And his standout season, because he's been, I mean, I think it's more assists than anyone in La Liga. He got 6 goals in all competitions before tonight. He's obviously now got 9. And Hansi Flick, when he arrived, said, OK, I know you're a winger. I know you can do damage there. I think you can do damage in the centre as well. And when they've played a 4-2-3-1, which is a very Flick thing to do, at times he's been the 10. And that's just given him that belief back. This was his dream move, let's not forget. And, you know, he was linked with a move away from the club last season, but he said, no, I'm staying here. I'm going to play my best football. And under Hansi Flick, he's absolutely doing it. But it would be remiss of us not to say Pedri was brilliant. Fermín López was so smart in midfield. I thought Lamine Yamal, we know him for the attacking side. Some of that was great. His work without the ball was terrific. And I think even though Balde found it really difficult at left-back at times when Müller was moving all around him, making it difficult, he really stuck at it. And when they started helping him and doubling up, then he could really get in the game and start to come forward. As a team, they were terrific.
3 Brazilian players have scored hat-tricks in the Champions League for Barcelona prior to tonight. Do we think we can name them?
Well, Brazilian Ronaldo's got to be...
Not Ronaldo.
Okay. Neymar.
Neymar's one. You do have to go for the most obvious ones, in fact. Like, think of the greats.
Ronaldinho.
Jinx, yes. And one more, slightly earlier than that. Attacking midfielder, number 10.
Rivaldo.
Very good,
oh,
Mike.
Yes,
very good. So Rafinha joined some illustrious company tonight. How will Bayern reflect on what's happened this evening, Mike? Because they're now in a position, they've still got tough games to go, but they've lost 2 of their 3 opening matches in the Champions League.
They have. They'll be sitting, I don't know exactly what position they're in, but they started the night in 19th place. And at this stage, that doesn't really mean a great deal because things can change, like Barcelona's position can change. But they have got... They've got Benfica next, then they've got Paris Saint-Germain. Both of those games are at home, so that will be a situation where they'll be feeling they can get themselves back into a foothold in this competition. But I mean, they're not going to come up against another team like that, are they? They're going to play that way. That's the difference, isn't it?
I think what's going to be really interesting is the debate that follows this, because if you look at the recent game they had at Eintracht Frankfurt, they played some brilliant football going forward, but they came up against a team that had Omar Marmoush, who's playing brilliant football at the moment, and the quality that could punish them, and they drew 3-3. Now, that's going to happen with this style of football, but the flip side of that is they have been so good going forward at times. Some of the football is heavenly. So what do you do as a coach? Do you dial it back and say, OK, we keep getting caught out here, as we did at Villa Park against Aston Villa? Or do you see it through and say, well, no, I believe this is the way we should play. We can tweak a few things. We can do a few things better. But the overall idea is the right one. That's the question Vance Hornkompany is going to have to ask himself and ask the players. How do we proceed now? Do we keep on going and just change a few things, or do we be a little bit more pragmatic? That's the fascination of what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Does it work, that style, in the Champions League? It might work in the Bundesliga. I mean, clearly with the first result, yes, it does against the so-called weaker teams.
The one thing I would say as a caveat to that, and I've said obviously the struggle with Frankfurt, they struggled in this game, when I think of what they did to Bayer Leverkusen a few weeks ago, they only drew the game. But I haven't seen a team nullify Leverkusen like that for a long, long time. And the way they did it was by being on the front foot. Leverkusen couldn't get out. And Xabi Alonso said afterwards, I had to go to a back five just to hang on. Now, there's not many teams that can do that to Leverkusen. So Kompany will look at it and say, well, if we can do that to them, the German champions who didn't lose a single domestic game last season, we can do it to other teams, but we have to believe it and we have to do it better.
Okay, let's move on to another major story of the night. Lille winning away at Atletico. I mean, a tremendous result to beat Real Madrid at home, the defending champions, on match day two. But this might match it, especially given that on 8 minutes they gifted Julian Alvarez the ball to score, but in the second half they struck three times, including a brilliant goal from Jegrova. And they've picked up an incredible result there, Kev.
This is going to sound crazy, but I think it's better. Because who goes to the Metropolitano, comes from behind, and wins 3-1 like this? I mean, it's incredible because, you know, like you say, it was their fault, really, the goal they gave away to Alvarez. It was very well finished, but they gifted it. So to then, that goal from Jegrova was absolutely sensational. Then Jonathan David puts away the penalty, and then David gets another goal. So to move through the gears like that against an Atletico team that I know they conceded four against Benfica, but that's away from home. At home, teams don't do that. Teams don't go there and put three past them. So that is a sensational performance. And I have to give massive credit to Bruno Genesio as well. Very experienced coach. He's been around the block. He's gone there, replaced Paulo Fonseca, brought his spin on it, and you know, they went to Monaco and played in a different way. They drew 0-0 at the weekend. Monaco have been doing really, really well, so that I thought that was a good result. But to do this, that's something else.
Genesio in his press conference the day before said he loves Spanish football. It's a football nation with an audience that understands the game. Spain is one of the places where I want to coach. There'll be a few clubs maybe looking at him thinking maybe one day Bruno Genesio will be our man.
I think Lille will say, you're going nowhere. You're staying with us. If you can beat Real Madrid and then beat Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, lost their opening game to Sporting, but have since beaten Real Madrid and Atletico. Atletico, briefly, Kev, they had to fight really to get that late win against Leipzig on match day one. Back-to-back defeats now. They've got to get their footing back now in this league phase.
Yeah, they do. And they had problems against Leganes as well at the weekend. They had to come from a goal down and scored three fairly late goals to turn that one around. They are transitioning to something new. They brought in Julian Alvarez. I still feel Griezmann's the main man, so it's going to take a little while to sort that out. But this is always the thing with Atleti. We know them as a really good defensive team. We know them as a team that sometimes struggles to score goals. Well, they're trying to move away from that. They're trying to say, we want to impose ourselves on the opposition, score a lot of goals. but they do look a bit more fragile than usual defensively, so Simeone has answers to find.
Griezmann, Alvarez and Sørloth all named in the starting 11 on the night for the Rojiblancos. Let's move to Germany, where Liverpool have claimed a huge victory away at Leipzig. They're now one of two teams that have won all three of their matches. Darwin Nunez with the only goal of that match. And for Arne Slot now, Kev, 11 wins from 12 matches as their new manager.
It's incredible. He's been at pains to say, I was left a really good legacy by Jurgen Klopp, that's true.
Yep.
He's inherited a brilliant squad, that's true as well. But to actually change to a different style, and it is a really different style, they're much more patient, they are a bit more pragmatic, it's about possession rather than heavy metal football, and I know that's, you know, a little bit glib and a little bit simplistic because Klopp played in a lot of different ways as Liverpool boss, but there's no doubt that it's a lot calmer. And, you know, Leipzig had chances. Quirin Kelleher made a really good stop from a deflected shot from Xavi, and made other good stops as well. But they've taken on a Leipzig team that is joint top of the Bundesliga, has only conceded two goals, and they've managed to win the game and keep a clean sheet. So that momentum is just going to build and build. And I think their game management, as it was against Chelsea in the Premier League at the weekend, is very, very good so far.
Salah's nodded down header, turned in by Nunez on 27 minutes. That decided the game. Kelleher, as you mentioned, of course, Kev. Some unbelievable saves, doing really well into the team for Alisson at the moment. But let's hear from the Reds captain, Virgil van Dijk, loving life under the new manager.
I know what kind of quality we have in the dressing room. I know that we can be very good, but obviously the results have been obviously so far very good. I think the performances can always be better, and that's what we try to improve. But at the end of the day, football is a result game, and you have to win games, and I think so far we're doing it fine.
Yes, so Liverpool second in the league phase table, only to Aston Villa on goal difference. Both teams are 9 points from their three matches. We're talking about the victory that Lille have enjoyed away at Atletico. It feels like that one for Feyenoord feels similar tonight. Winning away at Benfica, a Benfica side that beat Atletico 4-0 just a few weeks back. They've gone there and they deserved it, Kev, based on the quality of chances they created, winning by 3-1.
They did, and the way those goals were taken as well. I thought the final one from Milambo, which was a clever set piece, his second goal, Anthony Milambo of the night, thrashed into the bottom corner. Even Brian Priska seemed surprised by the quality of it.
Just raised both arms.
Yeah. Wasn't
didn't
expecting
move.
That
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
But I thought the first goal was lovely as well. I thought Ueda's finish for the first goal was really nice. And they didn't panic when it got to 2-1 and Aktürkoğlu scored again. I think he scored in every game he's played.
3-3 in the
Champions
League
so far.
Yeah.
When they got it back to 2-1, you thought, oh, here we go. This will be where Benfica make it happen. But Feyenoord didn't just hold on. They went on to extend their advantage. So win in Spain against Girona and now win in Lisbon against Benfica, that's really quite something. And it's a running theme actually tonight. New coaches need big moments because you need a moment where the players, you speak to ex-players about this all the time, the players need to be convinced. And they will be if you can show your methods win games and make them look good. That's the truth of it. So that belief just gets strengthened all the time by results like this, especially away from home, back-to-back away wins.
Milambo, having scored twice in that game, three goals now in the Champions League, was the UEFA player of the match. Salzburg 0, Dinamo Zagreb 2, Kalinovic and Petrovic with the second half goals, either side of Alexander Schlager, the goalkeeper, getting himself sent off for Salzburg. First of all, for the Croatian team, their first victory in the league phase and a well-earned one in the end, Kev.
Brilliant result. And again, you know, new coach Nenad Bjelica, who took over after they lost 9-2 on match day one.
Yeah.
So he's gone in there. I thought they were super against Monaco, actually, as well. Scored a really good goal in that game. It finished 2-2. So then to go to Salzburg, who I'm sure we'll touch on, are not having a nice time of it at the moment, but you still got to get the result. And Dinamo Zagreb don't get many away wins in the Champions League. Hard to beat at home, don't get many away wins, so this is one to really savour.
And for Pep Linders, you know, tough at the moment for Salzburg because they've lost all three matches and are yet to score.
The Salzburg model is to bring in very young players and develop them. Pep Linders is a great coach. I've got no doubt about that whatsoever. You don't work for Jurgen Klopp for as long as he has without, you know, being able to be a good coach. The issue is he's getting all these young players together and he's trying to get his idea across. He's trying to keep their confidence going. But if you don't start well, and they haven't started well domestically either, it's really tough to turn it around. And so they're not just losing games, they're losing them heavily. So it's got to change soon.
Two other late kickoffs to touch upon briefly. Inter, they left it late to win at Young Boys by 1-0. Marko Arnautović had a penalty saved early in the second half before the familiar names really came off the bench and did the business for Simone Inzaghi. DeMarco with a wonderful low cross right at the end. Marcus Thuram off the bench to turn it in from close range. And Inter will be delighted with this start now that they've had.
Yeah, it's a great result and it's what they do. You know, Inzaghi has crafted this incredibly solid team that, of course, got all the way to the final a couple of seasons ago, could have won that final a couple of seasons ago. They're going well in Serie A. And even when they don't play well, they find a way. And it was similar against Roma at the weekend in Serie A. Lautaro Martinez found the winner. This time it was Thuram. Thuram's probably been their best player this season. There are some people who'll tell you he's been the best player in Serie A this season. I wouldn't argue with that. So it does show if you've got that squad strength, it goes a long way. For Young Boys, I feel a bit for them because they found it really, really tough this season in a similar way to how Salzburg have.
Yeah, they've had to change head coach already in this league phase. The other match, Manchester City beating Sparta Praha by 5-0. We'll break it down with Kev in a moment. But Erling Haaland scored a truly extraordinary goal for 2-0. Savinho with the work down the right, clipped a cross that was actually behind Haaland, and he somehow back-heel volleyed. I don't know what he did. Let's hear what Phil Foden thinks.
Some of that he adds to his game, these type of goals that no one else can do. And yeah, I thought he did well today because it was difficult for him to, maybe it's a bit frustrating because he couldn't touch the ball as much because how deep there was. But yeah, Erling always remains patient and believes he's going to get a chance to score. And yeah, he scored two and yeah, he does his job all the time.
Foden got the opener, Stones and Matheus Nunez for the penalty spot, making it 5-0. And in the end, you know, a nice, comfortable victory for Manchester City. Pep Guardiola seemed to really enjoy the way his team was playing there as well.
Yeah, because he had to shuffle his pack. He's got a few injuries. He's having to really kind of tiptoe through the schedule at the moment. Rodri, we know, is out in the long term, which is a real shame for him and for Manchester City. But just a note on Haaland, there's something very Zlatan about him sometimes.
Actually, that goal is extremely Zlatan, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, he's such a big man, but he's actually quite lithe and graceful sometimes. You look at some of the goals he scores, and they really take the breath away. So, scores all types of goals. He is just a goal machine, and he is, you know, he's so consistent. And he's so devastating that you just take it for granted sometimes. But he is an amazing footballer.
What was that? Was it Dortmund where he scored that acrobatic volley?
Against Schalke. Yeah. In the Rafia derby. And that's the thing. He scores all types of goals. We know the one where he runs off the back of the defence and runs through and finishes. We know that one. We know the far post headers and all those. But you look at the range of goals, it's outrageous.
So Manchester City beating Sparta Praha by 5-0. They've got 7 points now. City standing third in the standings at the moment. There were two early kickoffs as well. We'll start with the one in northern France, as Bundesliga champions Bayer Leverkusen faced Brest, both sides having enjoyed a perfect start to their Champions League campaigns.
Jonas Hofmann and Florian Wirtz! A young man who is loving the Champions League this season, Florian Wirtz.
Now Kamara.
Lesmelo! My goodness, he's took that well. And Pierre Lesmelo with another one to add to his cannon. And Brest on level against the German champions.
Yeah, 1-1 it finished. Watching for UEFA tonight was Alex Clemenson. I spoke to him a little bit earlier and asked him to describe the full-time scenes in Brittany.
Yeah, pandemonium, really. Obviously, they've experienced two victories in their first two games, but I think almost the result tonight was probably greeted with as much fanfare. Obviously, I think they knew going into the game. Many of the players said it in their post-match reactions, but a lot of people were expecting them to sort of take a hammering. But they acquitted themselves well, got a vital point, and it was nothing more than they deserved.
Well, let's talk about the man who got the equaliser, making his Champions League debut, Pierre Leesmalou, 31 years of age. A brilliant goal to start with, Alex.
It was a fantastic finish. Obviously, he's just come back from a long layoff. I think it was his start against Rennes was the first start he had in 6 months. So obviously to come back with a performance like that is nothing short of remarkable.
I love one of these quotes that you put up on the UEFA.com. We have to carry on going. We have to think about League One, Two on Saturday. I'll have to get into the ice bath because if not, I'll have trouble recovering. So he's got a few days to get ready for the weekend. From a Bayer Leverkusen point of view, Alex, what did you make of their performance?
I think in the first half, they were fantastic. I think I worried for Brest once Leverkusen opened the scoring. I thought they'd maybe sort of crumble, but... No, they played well. I think that obviously they'll have frustrations. I think prior to this fixture, I think they would have looked at that and thought of 3 points. They obviously made a lot of changes. I think it was 8 in the first half. You might not have thought they'd made so many changes. They played with a lot of fluency. They were adventurous and they found spaces. Obviously, they had a bit of an onslaught late on. Unfortunately, they couldn't find the winner, but I think 7 points from 3 games, I think that's a pretty good outcome from the start of their Champions League campaign.
UEFA reporter Alex Clementon speaking to me earlier about Brest's 1-1 draw with Bayer Leverkusen. The other early result came from Bergamo. It was goalless between Atalanta and Celtic. And the visiting side manager, Brendan Rodgers, was pleased with the point tonight.
When you come away into Europe, you have to be strong defensively. I think that's always been the plan. Defensively, you've got to be tight. You've got to be strong. When you have the ball, then you have to carry a threat. And I thought we did that. Everything that you need to do against Atalanta, play through pressure, show physical courage and mental courage. The players did that. The team deserves so much credit for their courage, how they stood up and fought, especially on the back of our last result in Munich.
Yeah, he's right to point to the fact that they were beaten comprehensively by Dortmund, but they were a bit more pragmatic-minded. Atalanta had way more shots, 23-4, 62% possession. They hit the bar. Kasper Schmeichel made saves. Celtic get their point, 4 points, and they're edging potentially towards those playoff positions. Actually, Kev, let's have a look at the league table right now. And there is English dominance in the top three positions.
Yeah, there is. Aston Villa have been absolutely sensational so far. Haven't conceded a goal so far. 9 points out of 9. Liverpool the same. Manchester City on 7. Monaco, though... 7 points for them so far. They're playing some brilliant football under Adi Hütte. They've been going really well in Ligue 1. And I think, you know, Sporting deserve a lot of credit as well. They're going well in the Primera Liga. 7 points from 3 games. Ruben Amorim, what an incredible coach he is.
Continues to do it. So at the moment, they and Inter and Leverkusen and Brest, of course, still unbeaten, are at the moment in the automatic playoff spots. Big teams at the moment, Kev. Outside of the top 24, and I'm looking at Atletico, Leipzig and AC Milan as well.
This is what I love about the format, because we're going to get so many twists and turns.
It will change.
It will change. But what you'll get is you'll get a situation where you might have some of the big hitters and they might think, we'll be okay, don't worry, we've got time to turn it round. Oh no, we've only got 2 games left. And that can happen, because you know, who would have expected Lille to go to Madrid and beat Atletico, having beaten Real Madrid?
Yeah.
You know, even Real Madrid got a scare last night. Borussia Dortmund, you know, playing really well and then rather collapsed after Real turned it on. So we've had some real thrills and spills, real surprises. I thought PSV played really well against Paris, actually. I thought they carried a real threat. So I think what we're seeing, actually, in the new format is the breadth of quality in the tournament. Stuttgart last night, I thought they were sensational against Juventus. That was a fully deserved win for them. I know it came late with the goal from El Bilal Touré, but I thought they could have won that by 2 or 3. So brilliant performances across the board. It's been really good fun so far.
In the old format, Bayern would always win their group, essentially. But at the moment, they're 23rd in these league phase standings after 2 defeats, having lost to Barcelona tonight. Let's hear from a reflective Thomas Müller.
Yeah, maybe the last part of the game was clear for Barcelona, but everybody saw the first half. Barcelona was very clinical with their scoring. We missed a lot of last passes, a lot of last touches. after the early goal for Barcelona, we had good control of the game, but in the end, football is about goals, and Barcelona did well.
So Thomas Müller there. Mike Sewell was on commentary for the game against Barcelona. Mike, I suppose, player of the match. It's an easy one, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the whole team played really well. Fermín López was excellent in that game. He set up two of the goals. It has to go to Rafinha, not just because he scored a hat-trick and he got all the glory, but the way in which he finished the goals. All three of them were really well-taken goals. I particularly like the last one.
And wearing the captain's armband for Barcelona as well on the night. Kev, from the other matches, obviously Barcelona's result might be the standout one, given the manner of the victory. But what's the biggest result elsewhere on Wednesday night in the Champions League?
Lille winning away at Atletico Madrid. Sensational result. And I'll give the player of the game to Jonathan David, because lethal again from the penalty spot and got his second and their third of the night to wrap it up. So brilliant.
There's going to be more brilliant action on match day for Mike, Kev. Thank you very much for your company, and thank you very much everybody for listening at home. That's just about all we have time for this evening. A reminder that this very podcast is available to download at the end of every single match night of the UEFA Champions League, so make sure to subscribe, follow and download, give us a rating as well wherever you get your podcasts. But what a night. This league phase just keeps delivering extraordinary matches. From me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.